And welcome to special edition number 26 of What's On Joe Mind, where Fancast about the world of G.I. Joe. Tonight is just Justin and me, and we have a unique opportunity to join the red carpet festivities.
Well done. Good recovery, guys.
In London, England, with friend of the program, Dave Tree. Justin, you got your tux on?
Oh, I'm all tuxed out. I got to get all dressed up. I saw that one picture of Dave standing by the Cobra-themed red carpet that I really want to have in my living room. He wouldn't steal it for me, though.
The number of people I've seen that want that carpet.
That thing was nasty.
Of course, James said, I want the woman standing on it.
Yeah, he's like, who's the girl with the blue umbrella? Yeah, go James.
Well, all of us have at least our tuxedo tops and ties on. I don't know if we all have our bottoms on. For the sake of this podcast, it really doesn't matter. The only person that really needs to have pants is Dave. Speaking of Dave, let's send it out to London, England, where he is on site for the premiere. Dave, take her away.
Hi there, this is Dave, coming from the red carpet in Leicester Square for the premiere of G.I. Joe Retaliation. It's pouring down with rain, but everybody's here, and right in front of me at the moment, there's a whole bunch of ninjas, and they're kicking ass. I think the cast are coming in a minute, so we'll try and grab a few of them as they come.
And we're back. Justin, when is your premiere?
I'm kind of wondering if maybe my invitation got lost in the mail. I was expecting it any time now, but something must have happened.
Do you think if I put a big Facebook post out saying how upset I am, do you think you're going to get maybe an invite?
I've heard that works for some folks. Yeah. I'm just going to put a big thing up and said, I'm Justin f***ing Bell and nobody invited me to a premiere. What's up with that?
Because that's kind of how I feel. No free passes, no nothing.
Yeah. In all fairness, I did get invited to an advanced screening, but the advanced screening was going to be on the 26th and I could have just gone and seen it a heck of a lot closer than New York City on the 26th anyway. So I elected to do that instead.
Same here. It's the 27th for me. I'm at my local Cineplex.
Awesome.
Where we'll see it in 3D with the entire family.
Yep. For me, a local Cineplex is about 60 miles away. Suck it up and do it.
When I shoot it on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
But if anyone's listening and you still would like to give away free passes, we're accepting.
Take them. I've got 2 tickets already. I'll see you the third time.
Yeah, sure. Hey, getting word that Dave is back on the carpet. He has with him former WBC heavyweight champ. Like Big Bo or something.
No kidding.
David Hay. Take it away, Dave.
David, just one question. G.I. Joe, a film about a toy line. What was your favorite toy as a kid?
Favorite toy as a kid is probably the Hulk. I had a little Hulk when I was a kid. And yeah, Incredible Hulk.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Cheers. You see The Rock, you see Bruce Willis, Channing,
everybody out and about, and it's a big fun movie. And we're back. And while you guys are now Googling feverish, heavyweight champion David Hay,
who really likes the Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk, yes. I admit I had to look him up. If I have 1 weak spot with sports, I would say boxing's about one of those areas.
Yeah.
It's not Mike Tyson, and everything I learned about Mike Tyson was from punching.
Yeah, I know a couple of them, but I don't know too many.
We're getting word that Dave has another guest to share with us on the carpet. We'll send it out to Dave.
Dave, take it away. Thank you very much. Thank you.
DJ, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
What's on Joe Mind? Fancast about G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
that's what we do, radio podcast.
That's a great name.
Thank you. In the film?
Yes.
Flint, Lady J.
Yes, yes.
All in the comics and the cartoons.
Yeah, Mary, go to Hawaii, all that.
Exactly. We kind of saw hints of that with this one.
Yes.
In future, are we going to see more of that?
Absolutely in future. I mean, we introduced Flint in this movie. We kind of see him start working with the group. So he's yet to grow into the Flint that we know and love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And the relationship is part of that. So we wanted to tease it just so you see the beginnings of these two people. They're teasing each other like school kids. So
who wears the trousers?
Oh, she does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Every time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
On and off set.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 100%.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, me too now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. Yeah, who's that?
Bit with DJ.
Good old Dave, name dropping What's on Joe Mind. Gotta love it. DJ seemed to know exactly who he was talking about, too. I think that's a good sign.
Shout out to DJ.
Shout out to DJ. You got it. Yeah, I hope you're listening.
Well, we're getting word that he has another star on the red carpet with him.
Too late,
this may be on camera. Thank you, Elodie.
Elodie, just one question.
Oh, yes.
Where you're now part of the G.I. Joe universe, Jinx as a character is a firm fan favourite. Have you ever like done anything like this before that, you know, do you realise the shoes that you're stepping into?
No.
What could be coming next and things like that?
No, I don't realise anything. I just had lots of fun doing this and I love Jinx. You know, she's a tough little cookie and I like it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
cheers.
Thank you.
With Jinx. Yep. And I guess that's the big thing. All the girls with the costumes for Halloween this year are going to be Jinx.
Yeah, I tried to talk my daughter into it. She's not having it, though. I got a little care package from Hasbro today with some Retaliation toys in it and had a Snake Eyes mask. And so now my daughter wants me to go dress as Snake Eyes for Halloween. So I say, so, well, are you going to be Jinx? And she looks at me, rolls her eyes, goes, no. She's not going for that one. I don't know.
Got a package, huh?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the package delivery guy to give me mine.
Maybe I got yours by accident. I'm sorry.
I didn't know it, but Katie tells me Jinx will be carrying a crossbow at JoeCon.
Nice. An actual crossbow?
It could be.
Little Savage last year was talking Brian down. Old Katie's going to be shooting crossbows at his knees or something.
If it had the string and the actual dart, it would be.
No bloodshed at JoeCon.
Well, we got word Dave has now made his way into the press conference area, and he is ready to start covering the press conference for us. So for the next, half hour or so, listen in. I know it's going to be kind of tough because I'm sure he's not right up front, but you're going to hear all the stars from Retaliation. This is going to be cool. Check it out. Next half hour or so, it's going to be the press conference. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, I'm Chris Hewitt, and I'm on behalf of Harry Pictures and the Lenslow to this press conference of G.I. Joe Retaliation. Please welcome the cast and director, starting with Dwayne Johnson. And last but not least, Ray Stevens.
In the second installments, fifth installments, and punches franchise up. Is that a fair description?
The buyer, or
hold it.
It's interesting how it all came into play just in terms of the franchises. Started with Fast and Furious, and turned to the Suicide and certainly now G.I. Joe. So the goal was being involved in the franchise, it was just, if there was a way, when I look at the script and the franchise and everybody involved, the team, the studio, if there's a way that I could come in and hopefully elevate it a little bit, then I did.
Mm-hmm. Was that easy or difficult to find with the G.I. Joe?
In terms of elevating it?
Yeah.
I think just working in that spirit of trying to elevate G.I. Joe was very easy because we had a filmmaker who was new to the brand of G.I. Joe. I love Stephen Summers, who directed the first movie. He was my first director, who gave me my break in Hollywood with The Mummy Returns. So we had John Chu, who loved G.I. Joe, had a great passion, a deep connection to G.I. Joe. And plus, you also had a studio who, in Paramount, who does franchises very well, from Transformers, Star Trek, and G.I. Joe, and they realized with G.I. Joe that there was room to elevate the franchise and make a better movie the second time around. You had actors involved who all were very passionate about it and loved the mythology of G.I. Joe. So I think in that sense, the work was hard, but the having everybody in that spirit was pretty easy.
And John, this is a sequel, you have returning characters, but it seems to me that you proposed this movie almost as a reboot. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I think that was a delicate balance. Both the challenge and the advantage that we had going into G.I. Joe Retaliation is that we had a great movie before us, but it was a different tone movie than what I know of G.I. Joe. We wanted to get in there and have fun with it. And in the tradition of G.I. Joe, every few years it gets reinvented, whether it's the toy line or the cartoon or the comic book and even the movie itself. So to have the opportunity to be a part of that tradition and reinvent it with amazing cast that we have, with Dwayne, with Bruce, with Adrian, with DJ, and all these just amazing cast, it gave us a huge advantage already, because just tonally, from knowing this amazing amount of work that they have done, it was a great advantage to have in reinventing.
And Adrian and DJ, as newcomers to the franchise, were you given a franchise starter pack?
Luckily had my own from when I was 9 that I keep with me just in life, so it actually worked out that
I was working on this movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
Nice and straightforward. I'll take a question for you guys first. John the back, please.
It's a question for Mr. Price. One of the funniest baddies I think you've played in a very varied and successful career, but I wonder if the most fun in this role was the scenes when you're chatting with yourself and, due to the high-tech wizardry that's available, standing out, wandering around yourself. And
it's been my ambition to work with someone as my caliber. And it came true in this film. Unfortunately, well, most of the time I was acting with a piece of wood. But again, that wasn't unusual in my career. But I did have a lot of fun doing it, and it was,
How difficult was it, though, technically, to do all that stuff?
Well, for me, acting wasn't difficult. It was, technically, it was difficult for John, but fortunately, given, you know, today's technology, we could look at what was happening digitally and see where I fitted, and was I looking in my eyes, and did I believe me when I spoke? Yeah, but it was, I enjoyed doing it, it was great.
And Jonathan really brought that sense of humor to Zartan. I mean, the fact that he just is, we describe it as delicious. He just like swims in the part of Zartan and the President of the United States. So it was awesome to be able to have, you know, when we're using technology, it's very technical and stale, but he gives it a flair that you can't even write in a script, really.
Jonathan, are you much of an Angry Birds player?
Angry Birds? I'd never heard of it until...
We had a teacher. We did have a teacher who had a
game. I used to play with little lead Second World War soldiers. We were too poor to have G.I. Joe in our house. Yeah, I found out a lot of things on this film.
There's a gentleman at the back, fourth row.
A question for John. We can't see in London without asking you what you've got against there. Was that a case of picking the sort of most friendly city?
Well, it's funny because when we were looking for places to blow up in the world, we looked at all the major iconic cities, and every single one had been blown up in a movie, except for this one. So I feel like I haven't been to London a lot, but I feel like I know the streets and the buildings, because in that design of that shot, we had to know every single window, every single double decker bus that gets flipped into the air and all those things. So I apologize to the...
I told him not to do it. I used to live here. I told him not to do it.
I'm paying the price.
My question is for The Rock. Firstly, I can't wait to see you put boots to asses at WrestleMania in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
My question is, I mean, this is pretty much the summer of Dwayne Johnson. You have like 4 movies coming out in quick succession. So like, how you must be the busiest man in Hollywood.
Hardest working man in Hollywood, I call it, by myself. it's a very unique time, and it's a fun time, and you know, what makes it fun for me, and I think for audiences, is that, well, it's kind of like a DJ buffet happening. So, you know, whatever you want, you can come and you'll get that between the movies that I have coming out in terms of them being pretty diverse. But it's a fun time, and it's a challenging time. It's a challenging time with the schedule because anytime you have movies coming out, which of course you got to promote, and they're fairly big movies. I'm also too preparing for WrestleMania and also preparing for Hercules too at the same time. So it's a delicate balance of trying to balance the schedule out with all the press and also with the 12 to 14 week prep for Hercules 2 as well. And of course, yes, putting boots to asses going to WrestleMania
again,
too.
Right?
So that, what's that?
You're
going to
meet John Cena again, right?
If I do, then that's when you know it's very real. If I lose, then it's not real.
I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of G.I. Joe comic books. I kind of grew up on them. Best man at my wedding became friends with me over a love of G.I. Joe when we were kids. So thank you, because I really appreciated what you did, bringing it back to the comic book. Lots of references. I also wanted to ask, I wanted to put a question to the cast about what perhaps their favourite moment of playing those characters was, and to Mr. Chu as well, I wanted to ask, as a director and a fan of G.I. Joe, what your personal highlight was.
Should we start with Ray Stevenson and then work our way down?
Oh, right. It's so hard to figure. Obviously, working with such a caliber of wonderful caliber cast and crew, but again, on such an ambitious project. I was given possibly one of the greatest gifts by John Chu and possibly the greatest entry into a movie I've ever had. And probably what I would like to have entrance and exit. And working with Dwayne, who's such a phenomenal sort of athlete. It's a very visible role, maybe, but it was just great fun. It's very almost impossible to pick out one particular moment, but I suppose putting that sequence together for the entrance for me was a rare gift, and something I would never forget.
Dancing with Tango with Annie.
Thank you, John.
Or Lady Jane, whoever she is. I really must read the rest of the script.
Yeah, my basic martial arts was Taekwondo, so I need to learn how to use Sai this time. It was quite interesting, and also I had a lot of fun with Ray.
For myself, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint. I'd have to say the entire experience. I mean, to get to come to work and work on a film with someone like Dwayne, who I've looked up to for a very long time, and Bruce Willis is on the set, and Annie's there. It was very humbling for me personally, because it's the first like real large movie I've actually got to be a part of. So I just kind of tried to enjoy every moment, turned into a sponge, and I learned a lot.
Yeah, there's so many moments. I mean, you get paid to run around with guns and pretend you're a kid for 4 months straight, which is so fun. I think my favorite experiences, though, were probably not even on set, or just the off moments, just hanging out with this cast and crew and director. I mean, we really bonded as a family, and we became friends,
And John?
For me, I feel like I've been making this movie since I was 10 years old, playing with the toys in my backyard, in the mud and the sand, and the fact that each one of the characters was a part of my who I was as a person too. You identify with, I'm sometimes Roadblock and I'm sometimes this guy, but to have a cast like this that can bring these characters to life in ways that I could never imagine as a kid, and to see it come to life, literally I get chilled even now thinking about it and seeing everybody together. It's very rare that we all get to get together, so it makes me feel really happy. It makes me feel like that kid again, and I get that excitement, and I feel like I have to go to the bathroom or something because I get so excited about it. But it was amazing. That was a weird comment.
One of many.
Just let it go. Just let it go.
But I hope that the audience feels that same thing, that they go there. It's why I love movies. It's why I think movies are really important, that you go there and you see it with all your friends, and that you get that excitement to go home and go play with your toys and create more. So that was, for me, the best. Obviously, Dwayne and Bruce and the ninjas and all these guys to be there was just an honor, really.
Yeah, I would say for me, like John, you know, there's a really nice, cool, deep-rooted connection with G.I. Joe and the mythology of G.I. Joe. The love that we have for not only for the brand, but again for the mythology, which was why it was important for us to really pay homage and respect to the mythology this time around. And when I was a kid, I was G.I. Joe in my mind because I played with G.I. Joes. It was Star Wars and G.I. Joe. I was G.I. Joe and Snake Eyes, and then I was Han Solo and Boba Fett. I was those. Yeah. So for me, a cool moment, I had two cool moments. One was scene with Bruce Willis where we're looking at the tank, but the audience doesn't see what we're looking at, and it ends with something to the effect of, I'm not going to be neutral or something like that. And the other cool moment for me, just in terms of, again, the mythology of G.I. Joe was even seen with Snake Eyes. And, you know, one of the really cool things about the movie and about this franchise is the duality between hyper reality, boots to the ground soldiering, which transcends and every culture can relate to. And then you also have the other side to that, which is the fantastical world of ninjas and Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes and these amazing sequences, by the way, along the Himalayas that John was able to shoot. So I would say that.
I was jumping here again. What about that?
Can I just ask, this is directed at Jonathan and Ray, why is it, gentlemen, do you think that when Hollywood offers a really unpleasant, devious, evil character, they always come knocking at the doors of British actors?
We're cheap. I would say that it takes a really, really good guy to play a good bad guy. Because we exercise our demons that way, we don't take it home.
And we're cheap.
I have a question for Byung-Hun Lee, actually, because when you were reading the script the first time, in the first movie, Storm Shadow was very clearly a bad guy. Was it a relief or confusing when you saw that he was a good guy, a bad guy, then a good guy, then a bad guy again, then a good guy again in this movie?
That's a really charming point for me, actually. Is, you know, Storm Shadow is not in, actually, G.I. Joe, one of G.I. Joe, and also he's not in Cobra as well.
Yeah.
He goes his own way. That's what I like. Yeah. And it's also a little bit hard part to be cool always. Yeah, but I really like that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Question for Wayne. I'm just wondering, you're playing another big kind of action role. I just wonder if you put all of the characters you've ever played, including The Rock, into a world rumble, would you think you're a last man standing?
My character from Be Cool. Elliot Willow.
Why?
The haircut, right?
Because he was probably the toughest son of a bitch on the planet who happened to be gay and raising people's little eyebrow. And he could sing, apparently. Country music love songs written by the Red Lynn.
I get the sense that you've thought about this question an awful lot.
Clearly.
This leads to the third one, I think. There's a question for Juwan Brain. You touched on it just now, Star Wars. You're just the right age to be like an infant band. You were what, probably 7, 5 when you came out?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you put a mention into your agent because they're making a new movie?
That's interesting. There's been a lot of chatter about Star Wars and myself. And it kind of just blossomed into this where I was always talking about G.I. Joe and Star Wars and when I was a kid. And then a journalist said, hey, you should call J.J. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll call J.J. And then all of a sudden, oh, so you're going to do Star Wars with J.J.? Sure, I would love to. But, you know, again, like the G.I. Joe franchise, I have such... There's an emotional connection with Star Wars and certainly G.I. Joe. So, sure, Jedi, Sith.
There's another franchise which I think has another rock-shaped hole in it, and that's the Expendables. Is that something you'd be interested in doing? And if so, what kind of a role would you like to be playing in that?
I know those guys who do that, and between Statham and Stallone, those guys are buddies of mine. As a matter of fact, I just saw Expendables 2 last night for the first time, and I can honestly tell you that they're not ready for me. They're not ready for me. We've got 100 people down, and they're not ready.
What's a rock size hole, by the way? That's interesting.
If we were lucky enough to be round, you know, the Rock residence on a Saturday night, what would we smell in cooking?
Ah, good question. Chilean sea bass with pineapple. I'm only kidding, by the way. Egg white sounded good for a minute. I don't know how to cook that well, unfortunately. Why is it a shame?
It's a shame.
Question, Dwayne, you both mentioned working with Snake Eyes Ray Park. I wonder if you could mention, talk about working with him, whether he was a guy you hero of you. And just as also a Star Wars link as well, playing a Darth Maul.
Oh, go ahead. Ray is he's got discipline. He always trains so hard. I always had to follow him. He sometimes worked out like crazy. In New Orleans, it's really hot and humid over there, and he run 2 hours with the mask. She trains like so hard. So I couldn't follow it finally. So I just trained my choreography, and I had to just own my own things. So he's really hard for training.
Yeah, like Young was saying, Ray's a very special guy. For those of you who know Ray, he has a personality that lights up the room. So incredibly nice, warm, and happy. But yet so interesting, because he's had this kind of tough life, and he's had to overcome a lot of challenges, and he's turned into this tough guy who has a heart of gold. And as my co-star was saying, I mean, he trains his butt off, loves what he does, and his following is insane. It's crazy. And the most insane thing about it, we spent a lot of time down in New Orleans, is when we go out publicly, we went out a couple of times publicly, and no one quite knew who he was, but I would giggle, I'm like, God, you guys only knew who this guy is. Go crazy. Great guy. Love him.
There's a gentleman in the back room.
This is a question for the entire cast and for John as well. If we're fortunate enough to see a G.I. Joe 3, which I hope we are, how would you like to see your characters develop? And are there any key aspects of the G.I. Joe mythos that you'd like to incorporate into that third outing?
Want to take it?
Annie, you start.
I'll start.
Let's see.
I don't know, I love Lady J, so I hope it continues on that path. I definitely, we touched on it a little bit in the movie, but, you know, Lady J and Flint are kind of the two that stuck it out, you know, getting married, they have their own thing. So it'd be nice to flesh that out a little bit
yes,
more.
Yes, it would. Yeah. I like that idea. That's a good idea.
Joel, do you talk about the part for it?
It would be an honor. You know, it's all, if the fans go out and see it and they demand, I would love to continue the story. We build a lot of foundation and things in this movie that we get to build off of. We get to go, I think we get permission to go crazier and wilder, which I think is again the tradition of G.I. Joe. And all the characters here, it would be really fun to take it to the next level. But we had to, because again, we were kind of a sequel, not a sequel, reinvention, introducing new characters. We had to serve a lot of things, getting the audience connecting the dots of what the old G.I. Joe was, what the cartoon was, and what the comic book was, and what we are now, tie all those things together. Now that we've sort of tied it together and understand things, I would love to see Cobra be the ultimate villain and see him go crazy. I'd love to see some other villains come into this as well, and I'd love to see other heroes come into this and just, again, continue to build the giant world that is Joe.
Yeah, oftentimes, you know, within, like, the challenges, you see leaders emerge and heroes emerge, which was the nice part about our G.I. Joe, this particular one. Seeing the leader and why we all call ourselves G.I. Joes, and Joe Colton, of course, perfectly played by Bruce Willis. I think also, too, as John was saying, you have an idea of a villain, a force in Cobra that is powerful and in many ways unstoppable. And in my opinion, I think we could go even further. Next one, just in terms of how powerful and dominant Cobra is, the idea of that. Setting myself up right now. Get my ass kicked in the next one. But we got to see that. So, and as you guys know, who know the mythology, it's so rich and so deep. So many awesome characters that we can have fun with and explore.
Adrian, was the Brenda thing in the script? Was that?
Oh no, that was all Bruce.
Did he ever explain where Brenda came from?
I don't know if he wants to divulge that information. He definitely has a thing where sometimes he calls certain people Brenda. So I'll never forget the first time he did it. I really had like an actual reaction to it, just as myself. So it's like we definitely have to put that in for the character because it worked perfectly.
Yes, please. Yes, my question's for Dwayne. Obviously, you said that doing this movie, you liked G.I. Joe when you were young, but on any level, were you sort of thinking that doing this military-based movie was upstaging John Cena's one success in the Marine? And is there anything else you thought where you'd still like to upstage him on?
No, well, I can honestly tell you that, you know, coming down to New Orleans and shooting with this awesome cast that I have, and now we're all great friends. John Cena was the last thing I was thinking about. The last thing. What's that?
Do you ever think of him away from the ring?
Not as much as I think you do. I mean, not the best way, by the way. Only when I'm ready to exact it. So for those of you who don't know, I have WrestleMania coming up. It's about, I think, in about 3 weeks. It'll be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I'll be facing John Cena for the WWE Championship. And it's going to be fun.
You can order on pay-per-view.
You can. You can.
Great job hearing back.
Thank you. Question for John. Following on from the previous, when we were talking with Bruce and Adrian and my friend, there was a lot of humor injected into the film of acts of bouncing off one another, so Dwayne, Channing, Adrian, and Bruce, and Jonathan, against Jonathan.
Yeah.
But at that point, with all the humor and things like that, was there any moment where you had to maybe act a little bit like a school teacher and put someone in the corner every morning?
Our cast is amazingly funny. I mean, from Ray Stevenson, interpreting Firefly in a way that I could have never imagined as a kid again. Like, Firefly is this badass guy, and he gave it this sort of good old boy feel, and he became obsessed with explosions and the art of explosion, that some people see it's destruction and to him it's creation. So the things that he would create were amazing, and it was felt like everyone was playing jazz. I just had a camera and I just had to keep up with it. So I let the, I mean, to me, I was like, I'm just, again, just sat back and let them, when Bruce and Adrian are in a scene, I just let it play. I try to get it as much as I can so the audience can see what I'm seeing, which is incredible work just happening. When Dwayne is with Bruce, I mean, that's never happened, so to have them just riff off each other. I mean, I've seen this guy take a microphone and talk for 20 minutes on WrestleMania things, which is absolutely mind-blowing, and so to have him have that ability to do it in a scene was pretty incredible, and all these guys, obviously Jonathan Pryce, just talking to himself, he just loves that, he loves the microphone. He could go on for, and on and on and on and on, actually.
Let's bring Ray.
No one got put in the naughty corner.
Ray, you have a couple of fights, actually, with Dwayne. How do you prepare, look at the size of that, how do you prepare for fights? I know, but...
I've got about half a centimeter height on him, but his arms are the size of my thighs. So, but as I mentioned earlier, it was a real blessing. Dwayne's such an athlete, and any fight sequence, as you know, it's a tightly choreographed dance. You've got to know what you're doing, else people do get hurt. We did manage to click each other a couple of times, but you know, it's a tremendous punishment on the body working in those sort of conditions and stuff like that. And you know, but. I mean, it's what it is. It's just such a great roller coaster, and you've got to, you know, you're up for it. Entrances and exits, big guys stomping the hell out of each other, and I get to blow a lot of shit up. So it makes me very happy.
You laughed when you said getting hurt. Did anyone get hurt?
I think everybody got hurt.
Yeah,
emotionally. Yeah.
What is what?
The beauty of
fighting
with your own hands, with your
own body. I think you just said it. You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy being able to drive what's called his tank, which is the world's fastest tank. As a big kid, it was awesome. I got to shoot the Mont Deuce, which is a very, very nice weapon. Got to fight Ray Stevenson. I mean, we had some great. Also, too, I want to add, the fight with Ray, it was pretty challenging because the idea that John had was to create a fighting style that had never been seen before on film. That's pretty lofty. And then I thought, well, what do you have in mind? And he came up with this idea called a Gunkata, which, as you guys saw at the end, it was having two weapons at the same time and trying to evade the bullets coming at you, but at the same time trying to fire and then trying to kick and do all these martial arts. So that was something that we had worked on, myself and Ray and the stunt coordinator, for weeks and weeks and weeks to try and get that down. It's cool shooting guns, cool driving tanks. There's nothing like good old knuckle sandwiches to the mouth.
That seems to be a good point on which to end. thanks so much for coming. Thanks for the questions. Thank you, most of all, Ray Stevenson, Jonathan Pryce, Joe Hoonley, DJ Kitlan, Peter Gulicki.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you take anything out of the press conference you found interesting? I think a lot of it was just normal Hollywood speak.
Yeah, pretty much. Nothing revolutionary. The most I took out of it is that they apparently sat on Adrian Palicki's lap, so lucky them. I mean, her voice was very crystal clear. Everybody else is a little faint, so I can tell where their priorities were.
I don't want to say that too loud. I don't want to get Chloe jealous. Kick Dave's ass.
It's all right, Dave. I won't tell her you sat on Adrian Palicki's lap.
The new owner of all the cool stuff in the UK is now Chloe.
Half of Dave's Palatoy collection as well.
Ooh. But enough of making fun of somebody's relationship.
Sorry.
Dave is actually scheduled to go into a special, not quite a one-on-one interview with John Chu. Explain the interview we have coming up, Justin, that Dave has.
Yeah, both Dave and a guy named Russ Sheath, who is a contributor actually to AintItCoolNews.com, both volunteered. They both live in London or live near London, and both volunteered to cover the event for General's Joe's and for What's on Joe Mind, which was very cool. I'll be posting up a transcription of the John Chu interview on my site, as well as the audio you are about to hear. It was a very, very cool opportunity to kind of get General's Joe's and What's on Joe Mind in front of John Chu and have a chance to interact with him. And we cannot thank Russ and Dave enough for taking the time. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't too much stress on them traveling to London, getting escorted under the red carpet and interacting with all the celebrities. But still, they put in a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and they had no problem telling them who they were representing. They name dropped us like crazy. We can't tell them enough how much we appreciate it. And they both were able to get some FaceTime with John Chu himself. myself and had a good, I'd say probably a 15-20 minute conversation with him.
Yeah.
You are about to hear next. They get into some really nice kind of nitty gritty detail about stuff that maybe didn't make the final cut of G.I. Joe Retaliation, what the chances are of a director's cut for G.I. Joe Retaliation, maybe what's on the docket for any potential future G.I. Joe installments, depending on how this one does. It's a fascinating conversation, and it's cool because John Chu just is, he's talking real. Not a whole lot of Hollywood talk. Obviously, he's not revealing a whole lot of secrets, but a very cool, pretty intimate conversation with a couple of Joe fans who happen to represent What's on Joe Mind and Generals Joe's. So very appreciative of everybody, John Chu, Paramount, Dave, and Russ, for getting this all together for us.
We'll send it to the interview. We'll be right back.
The beach and everything, and then here we're like a little more. We've had afternoon tea, which has been nice, and they have a nice spa here. It's been good. So,
but it's not a beach.
But it's not a beach.
And it's not the sunshine. So come on.
But there are some fans out camping right now.
I've seen,
which is crazy
on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah. They literally are like, we're lying here in the rain for you guys. So wow. It's been pretty fun.
Well, that's because first of all, we really appreciate with everything that's going on that you. Giving us a couple of minutes to talk to.
Of course.
But also,
sorry it took so long to figure all of it out, but
also from the point of view that it's just testament, you've seen things like that, that the fan base is always assumed that it's a very much American core fan base because of G.I.
Yes,
Joe.
Yes.
But it's spanned out way beyond that. And
cool.
Over here, it was a different iteration. It was known under different sort of names and different brands, but
yes.
The core is still the same and things like that. So
yes.
It's huge. So I hope that tonight, even though it's got to be exhausting for you guys by now after
yes.
doing it and not knowing quite where your body clock is and everything like that,
yes.
but I hope tonight, if the weather holds, is hopefully one of the most enjoyable
yes.
ones for you.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. I mean, even just, you know, we get to do it in Atmos tonight, which is awesome. And I barely approved the Atmos before I left. So it was like just literally, it's hot off the press, our movie. So,
yeah.
But again, like the energy around the world, that's actually surprised me the most because I don't know what G.I. Joe means to places around the world. It's hard to gauge. Like I know what it meant for me as a kid, but it's such a small like world.
Sure.
So, but it's been fun to hear from everyone. And we live in a time in technology where we can actually feel it, you know?
Yeah.
It's an amazing time that we can actually interact and
yeah.
and feel like we've known each other for years now.
It does, yeah.
And have that kind of relationship. It's really cool. It's
yeah.
really cool. So.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. So, several years in the making.
Thank you. Yes.
What is your feeling? What's your emotion now that the G.I. Joe Retaliation is finally going out in front of audiences?
It is a sense of, well, I'm both scared and relieved at the same time. You know, there's a sense of responsibility to tell. There's so many things about G.I. Joe. I mean, I know what the fans want because I hear it every day, and I know what they wish for, and I know what our movie has and what our movie doesn't have, and what we didn't have the ability to necessarily do yet. You know, we're building foundation for a different tone, a different feel for the movie, reinventing a lot of things, but it's just the beginning. You know, like, do we want to get more into Cobra Commander? Yes. Did we not do that enough here? For sure. Like, but we have to build some roots before
yeah.
we go all that.
So, picking up on some of the key
yes.
things that you said there, foundation and where we explored and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider that this is perhaps maybe an ongoing thing, that this is maybe a middle part to a
mm-hmm.
trilogy or...
Mm-hmm. I hope it's a foundation for a lot of other things. I think that the G.I. Joe world is huge. I mean,
sure.
even including Action Man and all. I mean, I bet there's an Action Man piss that London just got destroyed and he's going to want some vengeance. So, of course, there's so many things. Cobra Island and
yeah.
Yeah.
all the different characters that you want in it. And we just, even our movie as it is too many characters. So we're just trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
And we had to strip a lot of stuff out and consolidate or reveal it later in the movie than we had originally planned. Because we had to adapt for, there's a lot of people who saw the first movie and there's a lot of people who hadn't seen the first movie and a lot of people who know nothing about G.I. Joe and a lot of people know a lot about G.I. Joe.
Joe's?
We both are.
Oh, you both are.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah,
know
yeah,
you guys
yeah.
doing that. For
yeah.
So, Russ covers like Ain't It Cool News.
Yes,
for
that.
The UK. I cover What's on Joe Mind as well. So when
oh,
you've been
okay.
helping out,
yes, yes.
and sending tweets back to Gary and Justin,
yes.
through that, and then both of us.
See, I don't know anybody.
UK.
I just know them from their Twitter handle. I don't actually know them there.
But I also do, in terms of the UK side of things. I run the UK's, or really Europe's largest GI Joe convention every year.
Okay.
So
oh, nice.
That's where we kind of all sort of cross over and help
oh, nice.
One another up.
Nice. I know, I was bummed that Larry Hama was writing all this stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
We haven't even sent things out yet. Like, oh, God.
I'll tell you, he's
very outspoken on that. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
He's quite a character.
So I got to send that. I mean, we literally have not even got invites. I think they come out later, not
yeah.
even until Wednesday of this week. So
yeah.
It was...
Well, the trouble is, because you guys are doing such an exhaustive tour.
Yes.
That... probably a lot of that sort of scheduling and planning for stateside hasn't
we don't
even begun yet.
And it's not
so.
Even, it's like some other person. So it's, I'm glad I know, because now I can like keep an eye on
yeah,
it. You never
yeah,
know
yeah.
what goes down on those things.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's always complicated. It's
I
very,
think,
very complicated.
I think from all the creators that are involved in comic books,
yes,
I guess because Larry didn't create G.I. Joe,
yes.
but in our minds, he
yeah.
pretty much did.
Yeah, I mean, his DNA is in,
yeah.
in it, you know. Yeah,
he maybe doesn't get the credit.
Yeah. yeah, and I don't know what so. Hasbro's relationship with him is, so I have no clue what there if there's issues
yeah.
or what.
Well, it must be good because he still writes the comic.
Yes,
yeah.
yes,
yes. Comic
yes.
Book,
so. It seems like that, and they talk great things about everyone
yeah.
at Hasbro's never said anything.
Well, this is it. I mean, where he came across, we brought him across last year
mm-hmm.
To the UK for the show.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And where I mentioned earlier that, you know, G.I. Joe as a core brand is... deep set rooted in the American way and things
yes.
like that, but it had like offshoots.
Yes.
And now he's, as a result of being exposed to those, he's kind of like pushed him into like bringing in some of the international and European characters and the other bad guys and things like that. So
oh,
nice. It's great for us. It's a great time for us at the moment. It really is.
So just kind of harking back to a question that we asked downstairs in the press conference.
Yes.
For you as a fan, and I appreciate it, I mean, it must be tough talking about sequels
yes,
when
yes.
this film isn't out there in the public hands
mm-hmm.
yet. For you as a fan, in an ideal world, is coming back for a G.I. Joe 3 on the cards for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something you would like to do? And B, are there any core aspects, any storylines that you would like to see? Because I think you've done a fantastic job in this film paying respect to the mythos, and it can't have been easy weaving.
No way. It was so hard.
Uh-huh.
It was so hard because you want to tell so many of those stories, and you're like, oh, if I ever did G.I. Joe, I want to tell the story between
yeah.
you know, Scarlet and Snake Eyes. I want to tell the story of whatever, of Serpentor, you know,
yeah.
crazy things and regular things. And but as a sequel, you are tied to certain elements that have been set up. And relationships that have been set up. So it was really important for me on this one to clear the deck a little bit, just get a couple cards in order, not, you know, like, can you put Flint in Beret right at the top? No. Can you get there? Yeah, and I think that's kind of fun. Once you get there, there's no going back, you know? So I had to always remind myself, it's like, we're getting to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. And you can't just jump in, and especially for new audiences, if we're going to introduce new kids to this stuff, it's almost too crazy to just say, oh, all this stuff, look, haha. And it's like, what the F is this world? You almost had to just walk them through. And this is our first step. And if we get another opportunity, which I hope we do, that was always the idea that we were, this is the beginning of creating the bigger world of Joe. And in Joe, maybe the other characters exist in other places. Maybe Scarlet isn't a character. Maybe Scarlet is a rank. And so somebody that comes in is the new Scarlet. You know, there's things that you can do that make a lot of sense and that give us what we need to do eventually. And,
yeah.
You know, did I want Cobra to fight more? Yes, of course. Do I want do I want to set up Cobra Island? Oh, yes, of course. And did we actually have stuff in there that could have set up some amazing things that we ended up taking out just to leave it open a little more, yes, which I can't talk about now, but there's definitely things that I would have loved to do and would
sure.
still love to do if given the opportunity.
It's interesting you say that, because where we were afforded the opportunity to see an early preview last week,
mm-hmm.
And I understand it wasn't the final cut, the final review print.
Okay.
But with... the sort of social media has had a great part to play in terms of building up this film, probably
yes.
more than I've seen for many other films.
Mm.
And as a result, there's been a lot of different trailers and TV spots.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. When watching the film,
yes.
there's an awful lot in those trailers and TV spots that never made that cut, or at least the version that we saw.
Yes. And some of those were really last minute cuts, and some of them were a while, you know, it's really hard to tell because we create those things way before that.
Yeah.
So, and some things literally like last second were like, we weren't getting a PG-13, so we had to cut out some violence. Right. And some of those key moments were too violent for so our ratings.
Things like the bodies after the attack in the desert and things like that.
Some bigger stunt moments that are in some of the trailers but not in our movie.
Sure.
Those literally have to be like, we're not going to get a PG-13 unless you cut some of these things and you have to pull them, and it's really hard and really difficult.
Sure.
And hopefully we'll get an opportunity to show some of that stuff in other versions eventually, which
will
I love.
Will there be a director's cut maybe of the DVD?
We're talking about it. Yeah. We have enough. I mean, we have a lot of extra stuff that we could go. You know, when we got into it, Reese and Wernick, our writers, who are amazing, they wrote Zombieland and have that sense of humor for Joe. And they were also fans and also built in a lot of stuff. And so much stuff that it did get confusing, I think, at first for people, because the studio really doesn't know G.I. Joe a lot. They didn't grow up on it. So when you show them, you get a sense of, you know nothing about G.I. Joe, what do you think of it? And so you got a lot of confusion of like, wait, so the guy in black is the good guy and the guy in white is the bad guy, and then, but ninjas are bad and good, but are they Joes and how are they I mean, so many questions. You're like,
yeah,
that's not even a question. That's just like basic understanding of G.I. Joe. And so we had to be very aware of that, and I think it was good actually to have that sense. Made us clarify some things more.
It pulls it back without it going too deep. I mean, we were just talking to a lady before
you
popped in, and she's from Cosmopolitan magazine.
Yes.
Now, she hadn't seen the first... We was like, the core...
Why the heck is she here?
But, okay, yeah. Well, but it was great talking to her. Just literally, she hadn't seen the first film.
Mm-hmm.
Did she get it? Did she understand? And certain things like Zartan being present, because she hadn't had that prior knowledge, but she really enjoyed it. And she was like saying, effectively for her audience and core group, it's all about the eye candy.
Yes.
And also from the point of view that their partners would be, hey, I want to go see this film. And if it ticks the right boxes for them, then they will go, which does better for the film because it's more box office ticket sales and things like that.
I think that's the trickiest part, is literally so many balls in the air and everybody has expectations. All the fans want the fan version. All the studio wants a version that anyone can go watch. The people who saw the first movie want the continuation of that thing. The people who love Channing want the Channing version. I mean, it was so many, and it hurts. It actually hurts every time I think about those things, because you had to compromise across the board on many of those things, and hopefully we found a balance that at least you can come away satisfied and excited no matter where you come from. But that was a balance that we had to figure out along the way.
Sure.
I had my ideas of where it would lie. But that's why I think our cast is so important, because they set the tone. They set... Immediately you either love or hate these characters. You love to hate Jonathan. You love to hate Firefly as well. And so no matter what you do, you attach yourself to that guy. And as long as you can connect that guy into the story, then you can get away with a lot more. And so did we have a lot more ninja stuff? Yes. Did we have it all in the beginning? Yes. Do we have more Jinx backstory? Yes. We had a ton of that stuff. There was a certain point where you're like, you got Bruce, you got Channing, you got to deal with that. You got The Rock, you've got ninjas, you've got Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Storm Shadow has to change in this movie. Where do you have room to tell a story about the backstory of Jinx within that all, which really doesn't pay off? So it was, again, then we come down to, okay, we're setting things up that will pay off later. We're establishing a character that we'll come back and we'll learn more about later. So that was, I had to come to that realization during and after we shot it, that we weren't going to be able to serve everything we wanted to. It's a, you know, a 2-hour movie, and we didn't want to make it a 2-hour movie. You know, it's we only, I think we were like 110 minutes or something like that. So we had to serve all those things. But
that must be the tough thing with, I mean, thank you so much for your interactions with myself and with us on Twitter and then later by email. It's a unique experience interacting with, you know, with a director of a movie. And having a response, and you know, thank you for that. It must also be something of a curse, because you know, everyone has an opinion about a movie such as this.
I mean, I think that's a great, we live in an amazing time. I think communication is the number one thing that will, and it's changing the world, and it, as we're all connected, it feels like the light's just turned on in the world, and it's going to get smaller and smaller, and our conversations will get more and more interesting, and it went from, you know, super positive to super negative, and now we're balancing it out in this in this world, and I think that's the, I think the more that we can communicate, I think, and be real about it, I think it actually helps the internet, the soul of the internet, I guess. And it's been great to hear people's responses. It's been great to throw something out there and get, you know, knowing that it's not the world, it's a certain amount of people who know your Twitter handle, who follow you, which isn't everybody in the Joe world, it's not everybody in the Hollywood, it's not everybody, but just to get, to dip your toe in the water and feel it changes everything that we do. And it feels like you're making a movie with friends by your side. When you release a movie, it feels like you're getting ready to show your friends, which is sometimes more emotional instead of just releasing a movie and turning away and saying that the audience is over there, when they're right here with you and they're like, you told us that you were going to have this and that and you didn't do any of that. That hurts. Because, and I actually already know the things that I feel like we couldn't quite do in this movie that we wanted to do. But I also think because we have that relationship that they'll also understand and know our perspective of where we're headed more than any other audience would.
Yeah, sure. In terms of, a lot of folk have said that directing a action film is very close to directing a dance film. In terms of choreography and the planning and set pieces and things like that, where you've now been afforded the opportunity to like work within both, are they the same? How are they different? Is there one that's, you know, that you found so far more challenging than the other?
I think that they are different for sure. I think that, but at the core of it is movements telling stories, because it's not actually in dance. It's not about the head spin or how far they can stretch. It's actually about the poetry that they're communicating from who they are as a person or character, or a relationship in a dance. Same thing with action. I feel like the best action that I love is the one with personality, that I understand this character, when he punches, that it means something about that character. When he retreats, what does that say about his character? When he goes beyond his moral compass, what does that say about that character? And I think when you have Bruce, when you have Dwayne, they understand that more than anybody, so they already incorporate it. Same with when you work with the best dancers, they already incorporate that stuff. It's when you don't work with somebody who does it all the time that you have to remind them that you're still an actor when you're doing your fights. You have to infuse who you are as a character, as an actor, in your fights, and not just do what we're telling you, because we can tell you what to do, hit the punch there, duck there, jump there, but it doesn't mean anything. I literally check out in a movie when that happens. But when I know that your hamstring is pulled and then every time you kick it hurts you and you have to back up and you're further getting further and further back, and you know there's no way out on that side, it makes the fight that much more interesting. So in a way, the dances helped me, working with dance, the process of working with dancers helped me, but not necessarily shooting dance.
Sure.
And of course you have explosions, things don't work.
Was there a moment you're particularly
proud of
within G.I. Joe Retaliation?
Did I find myself what?
What was your proudest moment within?
Oh, proudest moment. That's a hard question. I had many moments where I'm was proud of. It depends if you're talking about myself.
Yeah, just yourself.
As myself.
Removing everything else out of the picture.
And many moments. You know, first day of shooting, when you have The Rock there and Adrian and Flint, and they're in their costume and they have their guns and they're trudging through the desert, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is G.I. Joe. Crap. That's I definitely felt. I definitely had a drink after that day, and I had a toast and called my friends at home and everything. And then I think it's been traveling with the movie to show them. You know, you feel a responsibility to not just the people online, but actually to my cast and my crew. They work so hard. They're the best of the best, and they don't get to see the movie. They don't get to see what we're doing with it. If we cut a scene they worked really hard on, I mean, they have to understand who you are and what you're trying to do, that there was a purpose for that. But they're so supportive and so great. So to show them and have them proud of the movie is the best thing, because that gave me the most worry throughout the whole process of, like, I cut that scene, I moved that scene, and they know that they didn't do that. And for them to be able to sit back watch the movie, enjoy it as a moviegoer, and have fun with it, and be proud to show other people. I think that was the main proud moment for sure.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
First thing I take out of that is that one butthurt creator now can go see a movie.
Now, Gary.
Sorry, Larry.
Love Larry. Come on. You got a little upset. Understandable.
Hey, I'm so upset I don't have my passes. It is past the 19th. Where are they?
You know, I've been talking to Paramount PR for 3 weeks, and I got a whole bunch of jack all to show for it myself. So, all right. Let's face it. Larry has just a little bit more impact on the G.I. Joe we love than you and I do, as much as we hate to admit it.
You have a way of making the truth.
He's a lot more important than me.
Hell with you, Justin Bell. Hey, we're going to be guests at JoeCon, too.
That's true. Just like Larry, yeah.
We all know Larry. Larry had an opinion, and he let it definitely be known, and it got known in his wide circles pretty quick. Yeah. Props to him for using social media for what it's there for.
Credit to John Chu. He reached out to him, gave him a nice personal note, and made sure that it happened for him, which was great. It was good. It was a happy ending.
Well, there it is. That is the London event. Again, Justin hit it on top of the interview. Thanks to Russ and thanks to Dave for covering this for us. This was kind of their idea. They independently worked on it for us. Certainly Dave, I knew, did a ton of legwork to contact Paramount UK and just kept hitting them up all the time, even during the downtime. What are you doing? What's going on? I'm still interested to cover this for us. And the funny thing was, is if it was going to happen, great. But I figured they would kind of blow it off. They would kind of push the little guy aside until we got that email one day where Dave says, I'm in. And Justin and I are like, holy crap.
That was an awesome email, yes.
So that was a very pleasant surprise for us in the show, and I can speak for Mike and Chuck that all of us are very, very grateful that they did that, took time out of their days and to stand in the rain next to scantily clad women holding umbrellas. I'm sure it was a tough job, but somebody had to do it.
Yeah. They suffered for us.
They suffered.
All I know is that I've got a picture of Dave, like, lounging in John Chu's bathtub, and I'm sitting here thanking him for it, but that's okay.
Was it full of Creos?
He had clothes on, and there was no Creos, so it wasn't like me last week.
Anyone with Photoshop skills, please contact Justin.
I tell you, though, a bathtub nude in Creos, you don't know where those things are getting stuck, and I'm still finding them about a week later.
Ouch. And on that note, we should probably wrap this up. For Justin and myself, we definitely thank you for listening to this very special edition of What's on Joe Mind on the Red Carpet in London. Good night.
Good night.